Okay, so we're holding here the Siva Bitochon. We did the Nochem Ish Gamzu last time, and okay, we're in the middle of Yeshchol Adas, where the Maral said that it's normal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do for a tzaddik the type of nes that one would expect. In other words, the type of nes that's appropriate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it b'derech nister. So he says like this. We're holding in Reish Lamed Daled, the left-hand column on the top. He says that v'nira kimashama gam zula toiv l'gam zeh. So he finds a remez in the wording of gam zula toiv instead of gam zeh. Kiratzolayma afim nirloi pur onyas hayoseg gadol Hashem yisbarach oisem in a toiva. That even if it's tremendous pur onyas, Kadosh Baruch Hu still turns it out for the good. V'zeh nirmaz b'loshen zu shemisparo yud gimel. The remez is in the word zu, which has a gematria of 13. So that's why that was the shini loshen from zeh to zu. Ki havai hagomu yud gimel. You find the greatest amount. As when you the word vai as in tsar, vailon and so on, the greatest tsar is 13. Lekach, where do we find Chazal? A whole bunch of places. Hayayin shemevi oiva voivi lola kmo sha'ama lemi oi lemi avoi. Lekach siv vepashas noach etz hayayin yud gimel vavin. Lehoyres kayayin mevi kol vai shem yud gimel. In other words, you have 13 vavim, 13 times vai. V'nezbaya b'makamache ke'elu yud gimel vavim hem hefech ha'toy v'gomo, sh'toy v'gomo yud gimel. So, zelu maser of the 13 of vai, you have 13 that is the ultimate good. V'dova zomer sech testayne seitz v'ablaz v'mpdos, sh'nosna yisbarach yud gimel naharta mashche shem nafasmen. It says that Rav Elazar Mepdos saw in his dream 13 naharis of Shemen of Asmai. Ubi arnu dovel ze eitza lehanchel oya vayesh ki heim neged yud gimul midois shei midas tuva sh Hashem isparach. Vehefech ze ruvaya gomu gankan yud gimul. So the Maral says the ultimate number, in other words, the number that contains the greatest amount of either toiv or ra is your gimel, and on the one hand we have the different chazal that's the vai. So when you want to say the extreme in woe, you say your gimel vai, and then when you want to give something, when you want to give something that's very good, you have a 13 that is very good. Lemaisa, you have, I guess, some other places where you have something bad. Lemaisal, the Malkis are Yud Gimel the fun of, or Shnei Pom Yud Gimel Achrov. And sort of the way the Maral explains it, it almost seems that that's the reason for it. That to have a full complement of 13 makas in front, 13 makas in back, and on those 13 we say v'urachum. You know, it says he's makri v'urachum chapavin and so on. So that's an example of something that is the 13 in the ultimate of bet. You also have the Maral speaks in Netzach Yisrael. He speaks about the Nun in Ashrei, that the reason why there's no Nun in Ashrei is because of the Mapalosan Shal Yisrael. So he says over there that if you take the Oisis Mansapach and you put them at the end of the Aleph base, and so you get 5 plus the 22. You have the Nun in the middle, and you have Yud Gimel this way and Yud Gimel that way. And therefore, Yud Gimel the Nun stands alone because the Yud Gimel is outside of it. That would be possibly or probably Yud Gimel as being Toiv. Paul speaks about also Amzu Yitzar Tolasap Feli Zu, wherever the word Zu is, has the connotation of the Zayin and the Vav, 13. Echad is Begematria's 13. Ra speaks about that. That's the totality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Anhagas. The other places of Kedusha HaGadlus, I think he talks about, he brings these Gemaras obviously in Kedusha HaGadlus. And he says, this one other place he speaks about he speaks Remiza Gedola in Be'er HaGoyla. He speaks about he's going over there on the Pasuk. Don't remember. He also has over there a Yud Gimel on Keneged the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim. I don't remember offhand, but I remember there was a thing there and so on. As Yud Gimel Brises on Mila, but Yud Gimel a Yud Gimel Vavin of Noach that he speaks, that he mentions. The Al Kaponim, the Havon of it. What does he warn over here with this Yud Gimel that it's the ultimate and so on? Let's just see one more thing. Ulakacha ma gamzu Torah tzayim she gamzu she mirah pa'anis et tzayim dole she gimel and you gimel vav ma debi tochem ba yisbach nasa letoiv and v'yoch yisbach she yazol letoiv v'lachain. Let's just finish what he's saying and then we'll talk about a little bit. Ein lecha ois she nikra ois ha-hefech kamo ha-vav she nikra ois ha-hefech. It's also the reason why vav is called the ois ha-hefech. That is the you know when you say the pasuk, when you add a vav to a tense, it turns the opposite. Dovah zeh moreh shesbarach hadovah shneira gom yochal esmen atoy v'gom v'chol zeh mnei kiyu yisbarach echad v'yodeh akoil and so on. Let's explain a little bit what he's referring to, and we'll have some sort of tefisa. There are different hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two systems of hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmim. One is Yud Gimel Midas, and one is Ten Spheres. They are two different mahalchim. What's the difference? When is the ten and when is the 13 used? The 13 midas of Yud Gimel have a lot of counterparts. Mikael Kamoicha, Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum, and the Zohar speaks about Leisa Mechilun Derachmin, Natika Kadisha. Those are all in Yanim that are Shayach to two different Mahalchim. The number 10, Dan Haggis of 10, are represented in the Zohar Kaddish and many Svarim in the form of different parts of the body. And the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim are represented on different points on the face. Now, the 10 is a number that for us is the number of the system, of the counting system, and as such represents a quantification, mahalach, a rational process, and it represents the different halakim of the guf, because different halakim of the guf are a part of a process, the hands, the feet, and so on. these all are linked together, and there's a rhyme and a reason how they function together. And those are the halchim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the Bria that are very, very straightforward mahalchim that keep that they are mahalchim that can be analyzed, predicted, and so on and so forth. On the one hand, it doesn't allow for such a degree of indescribable ra, because there's a certain framework of it fits into certain norms, and the mela, you know, it, things will not be totally out of any rhyme or reason. On the other hand, they also do not allow themselves to be overturned so rapidly, because it's a process, and within the process, if the mahalach now of the mishpat and the din is not so good, then it's not going to. It doesn't just flip around. A process doesn't flip around. They're just like laws of nature don't change on a whim. They are what they are. You can add, extend, improve, slowly go back, but it's all a process. The midas, the yud gimel midas of rachamim, are midas just that defy process. It's just like I can when I'm dealing with somebody, let's say this person works for me in a company or whatever, I can deal with him formally, and you know, tit for tat and due process, etc., etc. Or I can deal with him what appears to me by rotzen, by will, by whim. Just like when a person is irrationally angry, the anger knows no boundaries. When a person is irrationally, the same way a person can be irrationally good, the same way the person can flip around, if it just came from no place and goes no place. Someone was telling me recently, someone was in my house and was telling me a story about his wife who had been very ill at some point many years ago, I don't know, 30 years ago, whatever, 25 years ago. I believe he told me he'd gone to a Nelson Tzvi, and he asked him what they had done medically, and he said medically the doctors were baffled, and it was very, very seriously impairing their health and was life-threatening. And it must have said something along the lines, just like it came from nowhere, it's going to go to nowhere. And he said it took a long time, but it disappeared, and the doctors were baffled as how that condition disappeared. I don't remember the details, it was just told me. But I'll compare him, any hanhagas that go with that, they can have a fury that's similar to when a person gets angry in an irrational way, and you can also have moments of grace that are totally out of the realm of mishpat. The Ramchal calls those mahalchim the mahalach of yichud as opposed to mishpat. In other words, those mahalchim tend to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Echad, in the sense that there is no, there's nothing, even the process itself is only a Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if he wills not, there is no process, and things just go as they go, and that's that. That's the Mahalach that is this Yud Gimel. So, by Chet HaEgel, where it says Hanichle v'achalim kirega, so that means it was an anger that was mufka from any type of in the world of process there was no makom of reprieve, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mahalach that was completely out of their own process to be able to get a kapara for it. That is the that was this mahalach over here. So he says over here. So the echad. There are two types of echad. The echad of 10, where 10 elements give you once again one unit of tens, is a rational process of the 10 different inyanim coming together, becoming one. So the Asara Mamaris, the Mahalach of Asara Mamaris in the world, these are the elements of the Bria, which means includes all the laws and everything with it. That's the 10 elements of the Bria. And we are ma'ache those elements in a process of sort of putting it together. So when you have Be'asara, that's where you have a Kedusha and so on and so forth, and everything comes together. The Mahalach of Yud Gimel is a Mahalach of because 13 adds up to Echad in terms of the letters that make it up. It's a very different type of process than the process. It's a gematria. In other words, it's the number behind the letters, as opposed to it's very, very different when you have numbers that add up to 10. That's a purely rational process, to when the letters put together spell out Echad. The spelling out of Echad out of the letters is not a rational process. It's meaningful, and it becomes the word Echad. That's what it is. So the Mahalach of Yud Gimel is a Mahalach that pertains to a very, very deep inyan. And the Gamzu L'Toiva means also, he wasn't speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the rational process, in the normal process, and so on, but he was saying Gamzu L'Toiva. I want to add a point to this that sort of comes out of it. Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of lawyers and people that are busy defending HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when something not good happens, you have one law firm that specializes in finding out the averus, why it happened, and a second law firm that specializes in telling you why it's really for the good. They range from, it says, from the absurd to the grotesque, it's besides the fact that Klal Gadol is, if you have nothing bright to say, then you know you need not say it, but it's deeper than that. The Mahalchim of Gamzu L'Toiva are Mahalchim that are be'etzem mufka from Seichel, and if a person is in a situation where he needs to come out to Gamzu L'Toiva, what it means to say is not anything that I can imagine or understand or know. Maybe someday I will, but right now this is something that I can't imagine and I can't know, so all I can say is Gamzu L'Toiva. And instead of making all the plans and saying why it is that this is perfectly good, perfectly wonderful, when explaining it reduces it. The Gamzu L'Toiva, you know, this is a piece of Anhagah that's involved. I think I want to sit over, there's a letter from the Breslover, which extraordinary, he expressed something extraordinary. He says, someone wrote to him about how many difficulties he's suffering. And the person in the letter wrote that what is most distressing about the pain or the travails that he's suffering is that they are totally inexplicable and make no sense whatsoever. And so the Bresa wrote back to him, you're very fortunate that they make no sense. Because if they would make sense, all you would have are the tzaras. Now that they don't make sense, you have the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. In other words, anything that I can explain and sort of, you know, put into the rational system, so the answer to that is tough luck. Yes, if you were out in the cold, all night long, you're obviously caught pneumonia, and you've got nobody to blame but yourself, and you have your pneumonia. But if it comes in a way that's inexplicable, at least you understand, you see a certain Yad Hashem in it, and at least you have the sense of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with it. So having that nekuda of gamzel toiva means that you understand that you don't understand, and past where you understand there's tov, but it means that you don't understand it. And the point is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Echad, so the circumstances themselves do not dictate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what's going to happen with it. If I am dealt a bad hand, so I can improve every hand just so. I can't take something bad and turn it to good. I can make it better, or vice versa, but I can't turn it, because for me there are fixed realities. Since for HaKadosh Baruch Hu there is no fixed reality, so then I don't have then it's something which is not limiting him in any way, and there is no difference to him shemen or mayim. You know, Mishdom the Shem Yadik, Yom the Mayim Yadik. It's all the same. It's coming from the same source. So what difference does it make? So imagine, let's just take a sort of an example to flesh it out. When a person is dealing with political situations, so he's dealing with a whole bunch of givens. So, I have power with this person, influence with the other person, a way to reach the third person, the fourth person hates me, the fifth person has a grudge against me, and I need to play the chess game, because there are pieces there that have realities, and I need to know which piece to move where. And a piece that's not good, somebody I've messed up with and have nothing to give him, I'm not going to get very much from him, and so on. But imagine, let's take somebody like Stalin, whose entire government is appointed by him and beholden to him 100%. So the fact that this minister is vying with that minister versus the other minister means nothing. It just requires a decision on his part, what he wants to do. But there is no issue here of the pieces. That's the pshat over here. There is no issue over here in the different pieces, because it's all the same. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, "L'chem nadova shnei rog gomoysim and a teva gom. L'chem mispar echot mispar ganku yudgimu ki mispar vav. Olakachu yinikra nochem ish gamzu ki nirma zakor b'loshen zu v'hovin advarim shem amukim amitir." So, b'derech kol, when the Maral refers to these lashaynes, that's what he's talking about. Whenever he says it's a mukim and a mitim, he's referring to the fact that he's telling you a nekuda that belongs to Teres HaPnim, and this is what he means in this case. Another point on this. When he says that the Vav is the Mispah Hipuch, is the Hipuch also, that means that but Vav is also the Chibur. It's a very, very fascinating that that there are Lashonis that we have different prefixes in Lashon Kodesh that are meaningful. We have Bachlam, and so on. But what's unique about the Vav is that the Vav acts as a conjunction in a sentence, bringing together two parts of the sentence, and it also acts as the Hifuch to tell you to reverse the meaning. It's almost two opposites included in one. That's a unique facet of the Vav. Also the Indian that he says Vai. The word Vai is interesting. It's an expression of Tsar. Let's think about it a little bit. Let's take an animal. An animal is capable of feeling pain, and the pain so if it has something, some needle or bullet or whatever it's in different part of the body, there are very, very sharp pain sensations. See that? An animal's hungry. It's a painful. An animal needs to be milked. Pain is something that we are capable of, you know, of understanding that an animal feels possibly the same pain impulses that we feel. There's another element that humans feel that are not shayach to Balei Chayim, and that is our pitying of ourselves. When somebody is wounded, so there's the tsar of the physical sensation of pain, and that's common to all Balei Chayim. And then there is the sense of woe unto me that such and such is my lot. When a person pities himself and he reflects on his tsar as a person rather than a particular nirvan, that's called vai, like the English woe. So it's a type of tsar and peronius that is not the specific. It's in the person also. It goes on the nekuda of self that's a sum total of it all. Let's give it a little bit more of a metzia so we can understand it well. When my foot hurts, let's say Rahman Atzlan, somebody's been wounded and he's lost a foot, Rahman Atzlan. So there's a pain and there's a lot of difficulty with walking and so on. But there's also the difficulty of understanding himself to be severely limited and wounded. When a person has a type of, the same person's tsar is someone passed away close to him, that's a tsar. The person lost, so now he misses the company of that person. A person lost his parnasa. Those are all different, on the local level, they are different pains. One is stomach is empty and he's hungry because he doesn't have a job. One is he doesn't have the companionship, so he misses that. One is that his foot hurts, or you know, he has to slap himself around. So those are different types of pain. But in the angst, in the sense of depression, the person feels, woe unto me, I am a misfortunate one. That's the same. And because in a person also there's an ikud of echad, that's zel umaseh, and that echad is the sense of self that has all of the different pieces coming together. So the expression woe is not a particular pain. You know, the Yavin Chazal, Kolani Miroishi, Kolani Mizraya, you have specific, you can ascribe pain to different parts, and you can speak about a cave and a tsar and so on. But the word vai is unique. It covers all types of sorrow, because it's dealing with the pain of the soul for the person when he's tefes himself to be lacking. So let's take an example. A person who is who suffered a loss, like God forbid, his foot, a close relative, a job, honor in society. So the depression that sets in, or that may set in, is actually referring back to his sense of self, and that depression is universal, and in other words, it covers all aspects of him equally well. The person perceives himself as not being the entity that he ought to be. I am a half person. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. Whatever his feelings might be, that lead to depression. But that's what that hagash is. That's the word vay specifically referring to that. It's also it's very interesting. Nochem Mishgamzu, we spoke last time, was Rav Akiva's Rebbe, and that's why Rav Akiva, went through the same story over here and so on. The Rav Akiva, when it was Moisa Nefesh, it says Osman Krishma. And the Yotzei Shmosei Be'echad. So these are two different ways of the herring Echad. There's the herring of Echad where all my koiches are bottled to him, and therefore I give him everything I have. In other words, when a person gives money, time, effort, those are items that are being given, but he retains his self. But to give one's self is the echad of the person, and that sacrifice is le'umas, the echad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's only one echad nebriya, and recognizing it in all of the different events that happen within the Bria is the same. So the two events, both of them are Mesiras Nefesh. One is, each one obviously with its own knesh to it. The Mesiras Nefesh of giving your life is obviously the harder of the two. But in terms of hakara, that a person to recognize that at the end of the day, all the nekudos akam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the midah. It's the same midah of echad that says that the etzem, the center point of the bria is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything comes to there. That was part of it. And then he says, "Kama gadol midas habi tochens bray tespark with chol leiv, at shekol advarim nase teiva." Yes.
Yes. Is there a name to the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim when it's used for wrong?
Not that I know of. It's let's put it this way. I to the best of my knowledge, it's not perceived as Yud Gimel Midas of Rat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather Yud Gimel Vayim, like he says over here. In other words, when everything is totally fallen apart, a totality, when everything is total chaos, it's not really perceived as HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. If anything, it's perceived as, so to speak, a lack of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, an absence. I guess we could... We could speak about the Holocaust. It's a total. It's a total absence of a sense of any divine interaction that creates it. So I don't think, to best knowledge, it's called anything but Yud Gimel Rachmim, and it's just the counterpart to it of the of these inyanim. Okay, kama gadol midas habitochen shevoichem yisbarach b'chol leiv, ad shekol advar nasa toivo, k'moish atzorekiv etzach mishgamzu. I want to add, round it out a little bit. In that sense, it doesn't mean that, it obviously doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will necessarily save him. The Gzeira might be, Chas V'Shalom, not to be saved. But if there is a Chetimtza for saving the person, if there's a Chetimtza for Yeshua, then Bitochen is the only Chetimtza for it. You know, it's, so long as I dehair the situation within the narrow framework of my seichel and understanding, then there is no mockering of intervention. It's only when I dehair all of these things to be a Lego blocks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bert Soysa, he puts it this way, that way, the other way, and there are no things that are fixed in this world in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do anything. In other words, all of the essence of the different events are all in Yanim of that are kilu, the same Lego pieces that can be made into an airplane or into a ship or into just a flipping round of pieces. They're not pieces like a shell atzma, but rather they are. There's something that is it's the same material. There's another place where there's the Ra'al speaks about it says in Gemara that this is really what he refers to, and when he says Lahanchel Oyav Ayesh, I'll read it. It's in Chiddush HaGadus in Subis, and over there he speaks about it's Tzadik Hey, or let me take a look at the Sefer where it is. It's in Ayin Hey. Here it is. It's in Ayin Zion in Subis. And he speaks over there about it's the whole story of Yerushalayim Malevi, how he was saved from the Malach HaMavis and ran away and so on. So he speaks over there about Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, and it says that the Chazer of Shimon Yodav Yosef, his son of Shimon Bar Yochai, was sitting, it says over there, on 13 chairs. And he says, the Ra'al explains over there that the reason why he was sitting on 13 chairs was, first of all, because he was a Chad Bedara, and the Chad Bedara sits on 13 chairs. In other words, since 13 is 1, he's the Chad Bedara. We'll explain that in a second. And then he says, Lahanchel Oyav Ayesh, and this is what he's referring to by us, that the Shai Alamas is also 13. Shai is the dimension of 10, which is same letters as 13. And this was the same inyan. Now, when he says that he was a Chad Bedara, and that's why he sat on 13 chairs. The meaning of it is that to say that somebody is a Chad Bedara, what you're trying really to say is that he is somebody who is, you think there's another Dar, but he is the Chad Bedara. In other words, you need to be able to look at the Havamina and say, don't think, to show somebody as being the unique in the door, you need to see the door, and then you need to see him as being unique. And that's the inyan over here of the Yudim Kisois. He took what seemed to be a door with many gdolim. He was the chad bedor. De lahanchel oyev yesh. This is it means also that he's going to get what, even though we think there are other things other than this person, the existence, the shirish of existence is this person's mile. In other words, that everything is like it says by Avraham Avinu Vayei Bracha, that everything goes around the tzaddik and so on, that was his bechina. Okay, any questions?
Rabbi,
yeah.
Is there a way, you know, like a rule to discern if something is coming from the Yud Gimel Midas or the Spheres? Like the Holocaust, you know? Can you give
I guess it's by process of elimination. If it doesn't fit into something that you feel comfortable with in the realm of Seichel, then you see it beyond that. It's never, it's not something that you can just speak about the whatever happens, this, that, other thing. But the sense of total that makes no sense whatsoever. You know, most anti-Semitism makes some sort of sense. You're living in a town with the guy, your situation is good, their situation is bad. They let it out on you. The priests, the church decides to talk against you, and they don't like the fact that you're around and so on. So that heats everyone up, and they go out and make a pogrom. You do a lot of sharp business, and you're the one who lends the money and this and that. Those are things that you can describe, and therefore, in as much as you can describe it, we understand that there's many, many steps needed for something to happen, and it's all B'yad Hashem, but it fits some sort of framework of Sichtius. But this was something that made no sense. It's one thing if he would have, like, as an afterthought, killed out German Jews. So, okay, that's, you know, sort of how they relax. But to go and dig up in Albania and in Sicily and in every place that there is in Salonika, and to go and dig up and find and waste so much effort and money and expense, and it's really inexplicable. And we need to understand that it's inexplicable and relate to it as such. So I think it's in different situations, they're also the, you know, I guess one needs to have a feel and see how, you know, can at least put it into some framework or not. To, you know, it's a person. Someone once asked me about when the Reichman brothers suffered a big loss at the time, and how could it be to give someone stuck or whatever. I said, you know, there's a level of wealth which fits into Gidrei, you know, Teva, a person who is particularly bright, a person who's particularly apt, a person who works hard and so on. Fine, that makes sense, and then you put it in a box. The extraordinary level of wealth and stucco that went on was not derech hateva in the sense of the word. That level is kula yashkach, and Mimela tried to deal with it even in terms of ruchnius, of sort of a rational process is doesn't make any sense. That's not the way we say it. There's an extraordinary hashgacha, and that's that. The Brisker Rav said once about the Medina that he said it was a smile from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning it doesn't make sense that people who were Rishayim and so on and so forth were able to succeed to get off the ground and enterprise, an extraordinary enterprise like this, be Matzliach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to be to give a special Ha'ara of Rachman for Klal Yisrael. Where that takes us, how, what, when, where, I don't know, you know. Hakol b'yavidei Hashem, that's Hashem, who keeps smiling, but I'm saying it's not something that one ought to try to give it a rational framework. Okay.
Sorry, we can't just...
What?
On the last one, the last paragraph, is he saying that the Tachin opens you up to more possibilities?
Yes, I think he does. In other words, the klal is, even on these things, a person who dehears things in a certain perspective can be the recipient of those mahalchim. That's what he's saying, really. It's all part and parcel of a certain, you know, mahalach that a person can be shayach to. Just like Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim, they require an avoda on our part, of being mevatle ourselves. Yud Gimel Midas HaRachmim is really, really, you know, it's like asking for help. It's like, you know, you're new on a job, and you're trying very hard to work things out, and it's not going, and finally you turn to your supervisor and say, I'm really having a rough time, could I ask for some help? It's kind of a throwing in the towel a bit, but we need to tap into it sometimes, and that's sort of why Ne'ilah, you know, after all Yom Kippur Aveda, we turn around and say, we're not quite sure if we did it on our own, we need to tap in, we need some help. Okay.
Yes, no problem, yes.
Good. Very nice. All right, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.